Would you turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole, healthy, need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to... That last word is actually a surprise. You would think the Lord Jesus would say, those that are sick need a doctor, need to be healed, cleansed. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to cleansing, to healing, to salvation. He doesn't say that. You see the word sinners to repentance. Chapter 13. Verse 1. There were certain at that season, there were present rather at that season, some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Chapter 15. Verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Now we will just read further down in the story at verse 17. And when he, that prodigal son, came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread, enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now chapter 16 and verse 27. Just the latter part of this story of a man who found himself in hell. And he is speaking across a great gulf that will never be bridged. And he is speaking to Abraham, his religious leader, the one in whom he had such confidence and hope. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, Lazarus the beggar, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Luke was a companion of Paul, the great apostle. Luke was a student of his mentor, Paul. And actually, it is likely that Luke's gospel from which we have read is an expression of the gospel that Paul preached. Paul himself summarized his gospel in Acts chapter 20 when he said what he preached is this: repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the message of salvation is still the message of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be very clear just at this moment and tell you that salvation is not a two-step process. You do not have to repent and then secondly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Salvation is simply, solely, singularly through faith in Christ. What must I do to be saved? The answer rings down through the centuries. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now there are people that make salvation a tremendous difficulty. I want to tell you tonight that the difficulty of salvation is not believing. The difficulty of salvation is sinners coming to repentance. And until a sinner comes to repentance, he can never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is not a condition of salvation. But until a person recognizes his need, he will never trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So we have read in Luke's gospel tonight a number of the incidents in the life of the Lord Jesus that Luke selects to support the wonderful presentation of this gospel: repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I think what I have been trying to say to you is very clearly stated in what the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 5. Now listen again, and I did try to point this out in the reading. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Those that are healthy don't need a doctor. Those that are sick need a doctor. I did not come for the people that think they are healthy. I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. He has the cure, and there is only one remedy for the disease of sin. But no one will ever receive the remedy who does not come to repentance. There is a dear friend of ours at home who is Korean by birth. She married her basketball coach and an American coach and moved to the States. Every time I see her, there is a pang of almost anger and regret that comes to my mind. She is a very attractive woman. She is an athletic type of woman. She is blind in one eye. Every time I look at her, I can see that eye is not working like the other eye. She is blind because of a benign tumor that wrapped itself around her optical nerve. And to remove the tumor, the doctors had to take the sight of her eye. And what makes me so upset every time I see her and think about it is this: the doctor told her years before that she had the tumor and told her there was no need just to take care of it now. She was busy raising her family, just getting on with life. And when finally she went back to the doctor because it was bothering her, it cost her the sight of her eye. The remedy was available. Whether it's her fault or the doctor's fault doesn't matter at this point. The eye's gone. She could have had the remedy. She didn't realize how serious the need was. Irrevocably, it has cost her the sight of one eye. And the reason souls are not saved in this meeting tonight is you do not realize how great your need is. I know, being brought up in a Christian home, that I thought I always knew that I was a sinner. I want you to know tonight that the reason you are not saved is not because you have not figured out how to believe. The reason you are not saved is because you have never come to repentance. And whether you want to accept that tonight or not, let me tell you that that is what the Lord Jesus is preaching. There is a disease that every one of us has, and that disease is a disease of sin. It is ours by birth. It has broken out in our character. It has broken out in our actions as a result of our own choices. And everyone in the gathering this evening not only has the disease within, but it has broken out, whether it's in your hands by the things you do, whether it is in your mouth by the things you say, whatever it may be, the disease of sin is evident in every single one of us. Some to a greater degree than others, but every one of us is a sinner. And there is this fact that must be faced tonight, that if this disease is not remedied, it will cost you your soul forever. Will you understand, please, tonight, that what you need is not some experience so that you kind of just move into a different kind of a thinking about God. What you need tonight is not some kind of better education. You need a remedy from the blight of your sin. The disease of sin that rages within will result in your eternal judgment. If you die in your sins, your soul will be lost forever and forever. That is the disease. But the difficulty is this. If only men would come to the doctor. There's no waiting room in the doctor's office. There's no difficulty getting appointments with the doctor. The difficulty is getting people to the doctor. And if you're not saved tonight, you have never come to Christ. People struggle away at all kinds of things. You have never come to Christ. Because you have thought somehow or other the remedy was in your hands. Somehow or other, there is something that I must do. It must be that I've got to figure this thing out differently. It must be that I've got to learn more of the Bible. It must be that I have got to go to a different church. No. It must be that I have got to understand the Bible better. And maybe I've got to read the Bible more. It's a great thing to read the Bible more. The only remedy for your sin will be found in the Bible. But reading the Bible in itself will not save you. Well, then maybe I'm supposed to be baptized. No. You will have to come to Christ. And only those who know the reality of their disease will turn to Christ. You have no remedy. I have no remedy. Your parents, your friends, your loved ones that have invited you to come tonight do not have a remedy for this critical disease of sin. There is only one. And the Lord Jesus is saying, will you acknowledge your need? Will you turn from every idea you have that you can remedy the disease yourself? Will you turn from every idea that somehow or other, given enough time, given enough effort, I will somehow be healed from the disease of my sin? Will you recognize tonight that unless you get to Christ, there is no hope of heaven? Turn! While there is a remedy available for you, called to repentance. I want you to know tonight that this doctor has, can I call it a surefire remedy? There's never a soul that has come to Christ, but they have found the cleansing of sin. There's never a soul that has trusted the Savior, but the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, thank God tonight. When He suffered and died at Calvary, He procured the only cure for sin. His suffering upon the cross has provided a full salvation for every soul in this gathering tonight. And what you need could better be expressed, who you need is Christ. Oh, if only you came tonight to the end of every effort, every idea, and recognize this. I need nothing more than Christ. What He has done at Calvary is enough. The remedy sure, sufficient, completed in Christ. But let me just remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus repeated with such telling cadence in Luke chapter 13. commanded to repentance. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I think when Luke was recording that, he might have been as well remembering the time when Paul was preaching in Athens. And Paul says to all those learned philosophers, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God now commandeth all men everywhere to turn from their sins. God now commandeth all men everywhere to bow in the presence of God and acknowledge that what God says about their guilt and need is right. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What the Lord Jesus is telling us is that there is a condemnation that faces every man, woman, boy, or girl. There is a storm cloud on your horizon. There is a storm about to burst upon you. That storm is the result of your sins. That storm is fueled by your own disobedience to God, by your sin against God. You see, these people in Luke chapter 13 said to the Lord Jesus, they must have been bad people that suffered this national catastrophe. Pilate, the Gentile governor, actually mixed their blood with their sacrifices. What a cruel catastrophe. And the Lord Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They were not brought into that catastrophe because they had sinned particularly against God. Everyone is liable to the same catastrophe. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Lord Jesus then reminds them not of this national catastrophe, but of a natural problem that has happened. Due to natural causes, a tower in Siloam falls. And as a result of a natural catastrophe, people die. Is that kind of a thing reserved for the wicked? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want to say this carefully and directly. The prayers of a mother and a father do not necessarily shield a soul from a sudden catastrophe. I don't find it easy to say that, but I believe it's true. I believe that's part of what the Lord Jesus is saying. Except ye repent. And who knows, as we look over the gathering here tonight, who knows where the next death may be? Who knows who in our gathering may be suddenly taken away from us, even in the middle of these meetings? God owes you nothing, and God is not obligated to spare you until these meetings have come to a close. God is not obligated to spare you until you have received salvation. Oh, you say, but I prayed, and I would like to be saved somehow, some way. You have never repented. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There's not one soul that can find any pillow for comfort, any guarantee that somehow or other God will withhold judgment from me. Each soul is righteously exposed to the judgment of God. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The choice is yours. The choice as to whether you will bow to what God says or whether you will continue with what is right in your own eyes. I am struck by what we have read in chapter 16. Here is a man in the depths of hell. Now follow what he is saying. He has already asked for a drop of water, and the least comfort for him is denied. And that same man is still in as great need of a drop of water tonight as he was 2,000 years ago nearly when the Lord Jesus told about him. Wailing in the depths of the torments of a real burning hell. The reality of his sin has buried his soul and will forever in the judgment of God. And there will not be one drop of comfort that will ever reach him. What a place is hell. He faces the fact there is no comfort to come to him. And he realizes there's no hope for me, but what about the others that have not yet died? Somehow or other, send someone to stop them from coming down the broad road to eternal night. And do you know that that's just where we find ourselves tonight? Whether you can understand it or not, whether we can convey it to you as we would like to or not, this is the reality. There is eternal judgment. It may be just a step beyond where you are traveling tonight. And our responsibility before God is tonight to raise our hands and stop you. So will you not realize this evening that in your sins you are traveling, you are hurtling along the broad road to eternal destruction. Stop! Abraham says, nothing special will be done for your brothers. No Lazarus coming back from the dead will be sent to them. Because the only thing that will ever bring men and women to face the truth is what the Word of God says. Now hear the rich man. Nay, Father Abraham, this is not right. Because I didn't repent in that world, because the Word of God I had was not enough to bring me to repentance. And the Word of God is not enough to bring them to repentance. Unless someone goes to them from the dead, they will not repent. Do you understand what he has grasped? The reason my soul is here is because I never repented. Let me emphasize tonight my simple, direct point. Every soul who will be in hell has never repented. And I want to tell you more than that. No soul that has been brought to repentance will ever be in hell. Repentance doesn't save, but repentance brings a soul to the Savior. And he saves. And here is a man, and he's saying, now listen, somehow or other, do something spectacular, because Moses and the prophets are not enough to bring my brothers to repentance. I won't speak about my brother, I just wish my preaching were better. I wish that God would take the feeble words from my mouth and inscribe them indelibly on hearts in this meeting tonight. That you might stop. That you might realize the urgency of your danger and your sins. That you might turn. Because if the Word of God doesn't cause you to turn, there is no other means by which you will be brought to repentance. If you're waiting for something spectacular, the Word of God is what God is telling you tonight, that you might realize your guilt, your need, your danger. People can get all emotional about a dozen things, but emotions and repentance are not necessarily linked. Oh, I want you to know, when a person faces their need, there is an impact of that that can't be denied, but emotions are not necessarily repentance. If the Word of God, the plain, simple statements that God's Word gives, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are without strength. We are unclean. We are ungodly. We are guilty in the sight of God. If that does not bring a soul to bow in the presence of God and to acknowledge, God, I am undone. I'm unworthy. There is no hope in me. Nothing else will. I did just want to tell you this because I don't want to leave without making a clear statement as to what happens when a soul comes to repentance. Look at this young man, The consequence of repentance is simple and clear. Watch him as he comes up the road. Do you want to know the language of repentance? I'm not talking about parroting this language, but the language of repentance is this. I have sinned. I am not worthy. All right, God, I'll tell you I've sinned, and I'll tell you I'm not worthy. Now, what are you going to do? Wait a minute. I thought you weren't worthy. Why do you expect God to do anything? Why would you be upset that God hasn't saved you if you are honestly unworthy of being saved? God is only doing what is right. You don't believe it. You've never come to repentance. I have sinned, and because of my sin, I do not deserve anything from God. If God never saves me, God will be right. Is it any wonder this boy comes, and he is crying in his soul, hoping that somehow or other his father will do for him what he doesn't deserve? I am not worthy. And as surely as that boy took that language on his lips, let me tell you tonight, every soul that bows in the presence of God, oh God, I am just guilty, and I am crying for mercy. Don't let me die in my sins and suffer forever what I deserve to suffer. Is there no mercy for a guilty sinner like me? I want you to know tonight, heaven has found the ransom. There is an answer. There is a welcome. There is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God grant tonight you may realize this. It is turn or burn for eternity.